dynamic voices for a diverse church. This is Pass the Mic.
Greetings and God bless. Welcome to another episode of Pass the Mic, Dynamic Voices for a Diverse Church, powered by The Witness, a Black Christian collective. I'm your host, Tyler Burns. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all social media at Burns Clan. Please follow at your own risk. And joining me, as always, is the founder of The Witness. He has a very extensive bio. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the two-time best-selling author, Mr. Blue Check Verified himself. If you want to read his writings, you can follow him at jamartisby.substack.com. Dr. Jamar Tisby, what's going on, brother?
It's all good, baby.
Why did you say yes like that? You felt like you were going to get like 1,000 subscribers because I put it in right there?
I'm pretty sure that's about to happen because not just because you mentioned it, but because you mentioned it. Coming from Tyler Burns, it's just two thumbs up, ain't it?
Well, here's the thing. You're a New York Times bestselling author. And speaking of which, this is very interesting. I love how productive you are, and I love how you're actually able to churn out books and churn out books that shape a generation's ideas and thoughts about us and Black Christians and what we believe in. And so you have a new one coming out, actually.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your new book.
Yes, it's called The Spirit of Justice, Stories of Race, Faith, and Resistance. So you know how we're still talking about racism. We still seem to be fighting some of the same battles that have been persisting literally for hundreds of years. Sometimes it can get discouraging. Sometimes it can feel like one step forward, two steps back. And the question I often get is, well, how do you keep going? What gives you hope? And I always say history, but I wanted to get specific. So The Spirit of Justice is about people of faith who have tapped into something I'm calling the spirit of justice in every era of U.S. history to find the strength, to find the hope, to find the creativity even to resist racism in their day, to inspire us to resist racism in ours too.
What I find so interesting is, and that book sounds amazing, by the way, I believe by the time this is released, people can be able to pre-order this.
That's going to be true.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So look in the bio if you're watching on YouTube, which you should be watching on YouTube, by the way. And if you are, why don't you go ahead and subscribe and hit the notification bell so you can get all of the latest Pass the Mic updates. But even if you are listening via podcast, we'll put that link in the podcast description in the show notes. I always found it really interesting. Because in every one of your books, you have The Color of Compromise, right? Which is people asking the question, what is compromise? You have How to Fight Racism with people asking the question, what is racism? Everyone, whenever you bring up justice or advocacy for marginalized people, what tends to happen is people make you define your terms.
Yeah, for sure.
And they make you hyper define them. So, well, what do you mean? What type of racism? The racism as defined by the academy, the racism as defined by the elites, the racism as defined by the left, the racism as defined by the church.
My.
So it's very interesting. And I think one of the questions that I even receive as a pastor a lot of times is, what is justice?
Right. That's a great question.
And we talk about this all the time because obviously here at The Witness, we're talking about justice for Black bodies. We're talking about justice for even our siblings in different ethnic groups that are marginalized. When you hear that question, what is justice? What do you hear behind that question? I'm always a stickler for the question behind the question.
Yes, you are.
So what do you hear behind that question often when people ask, what is justice?
When I hear it, it's often coming from trolls, or at least people being very, very critical. You may hear something different behind the question if you're getting asked as a pastor from maybe, you know, somebody listening to your sermons or in your congregation. But for me, it's often a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. The challenge is, well, what is justice? Because I want to listen to how you define it to disqualify your definition and say it's unbiblical. To say that you're part of the woke left agenda, that everything you're talking about in terms of, in my case, racial justice is not something that God commands or is coming from the Bible, but rather it's coming from the Democrats or the liberal academy or something of that nature. That is often, in my experience, the question behind the question.
So it's the request for a definition to divide.
Ooh, which I think is very divide important. And discredit.
Exactly. Yes. So divide and discredit. So we'll separate. We'll clearly say you're over here, and over here means the place that is not funny.
I'd love to do that.
Well, we need to talk. We need to talk about that.
We do need to talk about that more.
But it's very interesting. Even in the request, people are like, "Oh, just well, what is it?
Yeah,
you don't really want to know what we have to say. You just want to find a buzzword that you can use
the
then
buzzwords.
To discredit yes. us.
Goodness gracious.
So this is actually really important for our audience as well. When you see people who are examining everything you say to find a specific word, this is not a good faith argument, dialogue.
No.
It also lacks a charity that Christ calls us to interact with each other. And I personally believe that a lot of us find so much time wasting our energy and our frustrations on people who are literally designed. They're designing the conversation
yes.
to find those words.
Their whole like social media account or blog account or whatever is geared toward trying to discredit the people they, for some reason, have labeled out of bounds and put you in that category. So when that happens, it's just a clear signal. Now, you and I both occasionally interact and engage on these things for instructive purposes, right? For other people who may be observing, not really to change the minds or convince the people
exactly.
who are actually the interlocutors, but it can be helpful to explain certain things like justice.
Yeah, there was a pastor last month actually who posted this, what he called an unpopular take on Christian nationalism. And he said something to the effect of literally saying 99%. He said 99% of the time people use the term Christian nationalism. It's designed to scare you. And for you, as someone who's part of a Christian nationalism documentary that's coming out soon, it's just very fascinating. Like, and I said, that's not what Christian nationalism is, because so many people were liking the post and so many people were in the comments being like, yeah, got him, boom,
yeah.
you know, like all these other things. It's like, this is not an accurate depiction. And it's also trafficking, especially, you know, as a pastor, it's trafficking in a disingenuous thought, right? Ooh. So you just have to be very careful about that. So when we think about justice, when you grew up in the church and when after you got saved, I find it fascinating that most of us did not know what justice was or that it was a biblical concept. Not even because it wasn't found in the Bible, because it is, more so but because it wasn't emphasized in our
That's right.
weekend worship experiences, yep. discipleship, community, small groups, etc.
Absolutely. Well, it comes from, in my experience, there's a place of privilege where you can ignore biblical themes of justice because they're not that pressing, right? Where you are comfortable enough, which doesn't mean your life doesn't have any troubles or complications, but where that is not a main theme of the Bible.
Sure.
Right? The main right. theme of the Bible for a lot of folks, especially in evangelicalism, is eternal salvation. And so it is your, you know, get out of hell free card. It is your impetus or motivation to not be a jerk, hopefully, right? And it's okay, peace of mind, because I know where I'll be in eternity. But as far as like changing material conditions right now.
But that's a fascinating statement, because what it implies is, it implies that we emphasize things biblically based upon our need or our proximity to those who are in need.
Yes, interesting.
And so this is very interesting, like just as a way in which our orthopraxy works itself out, right?
Absolutely.
So we have orthodoxy, which is what we believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then we have our praxis, which is how we live out what we believe. And it's very fascinating that people do not often emphasize justice, because not only do they not feel like they need it, but also they're not in proximity to anyone else who would need it
yes.
as well.
That's huge.
And so it's very interesting, because when you think about justice, when were you introduced to that? Mm. Because I think there's a lot of Gen Z and even millennials, we're introduced to it based upon national conversation.
Right.
And it wasn't that we didn't know we needed it then. Or before then, but we're introduced to it now because of national conversation, argument, debate, Christian drama. One of my friends calls it Christian intramurals, our arguments within each other. So like we're introduced to it through that.
Yeah. That's
so, but what, point. Where were you introduced to it?
So a few places. One, I wish it was more explicit, even just as a general theme, right? We talk about things like God's holiness, his mercy, but God's justice seems, at least in my memory, to have gotten short shrift, right? So I wish even just as a general theme, it was emphasized. Where I was introduced to it, one, being black in majority Christian circles creates the questions. This is why we need a diversity of believers when we approach God and when we approach the Bible, because we come with this different set of questions based on, as you were saying, our proximity or experience of injustice and different situations, right? So I, as a black person in these white Christian spaces, am coming to God, am coming to the Bible with questions of racial identity, which then, of course, speak to historical and ongoing injustices, right? So I wouldn't have had the categories or the language to talk, but I'm already thinking about those questions.
Of course.
The other place, which I don't talk about a ton, but it's been massively influential in my life, introduced to concepts of justice, particularly in college, through the Catholic social teaching. So it's really significant to me that at the University of Notre Dame, go Irish, there was a center on campus called the Center for Social Concerns, the CSC. Can you imagine a Center for Social Concerns on like your typical white evangelical college campus? No, that's political. That's social justice. You've been captured by the left, right? That wasn't the framing in a lot of Catholic circles. There was a long and is a long tradition of social involvement because of your faith. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually through the Center for Social Concerns that I did a couple of things that actually led me into this path of trying to be a racial justice advocate. One, I did an urban plunge, which is a weekend where you are in close proximity to the houseless. And you're having meals and conversations and learning about the nonprofits engaged in that work. That was a very stark and eye-opening experience. The second thing I did is I spent a summer working at a youth camp, a day camp in inner city Chicago, in the North Lawndale community. And that was 8 weeks in proximity. And that shifted a lot of my trajectory, because I said, after that, I've got to do something more than climb the career ladder.
Right, right.
And that's what led me into Teach for America, which led me into the Delta, which eventually leads me here today.
I want to come back after the break and talk a little bit about this biblical concept of justice. And then I want to talk more about how this plays itself out in our day to day. Because I think, again, if we're going to be a podcast and an organization that continuously talks about justice, I think people need to know what we mean when we say this. And they also need to know why it matters so much, not just to us, but also to God. So we'll be right back here on Pass the Mic. Hey, everybody, this is Tyler.
This is Dr. Jamar Tisby.
And we are excited that you're listening to this episode of Pass the Mic. But let me encourage you to support us. You can do so by going to patreon.com/passthemic. And for just $1 an episode.
Just a dollar?
Now, that's the bare minimum. That's four quarters. But if you want to go higher, okay, 5, 10, higher. 15, that's 20, right. 25, whatever it is, that will keep this show going and keep the high quality that hopefully you enjoy. So thank you for listening, but you can take it to the next level.
patreon.com/PassTheMic. We appreciate you. Hey folks, Dr. Jamar Tisby here, and I want to make sure that you know about the Justice Takes Sides brand. This is merchandise, this is apparel to help you represent your values. This is about getting people off the sidelines and into the struggle for justice that's ongoing today. Go visit justicetakesides.com, get your merchandise and apparel there, and follow us on Instagram at Justice Takes Sides.
So we're back on Pass the Mic talking about justice and these concepts. And so you talked about the first time you heard about it, realized it was a thing. I think for me, it was very fascinating because my introduction to justice came through interactions and close proximity to people who had already come into an understanding of that which was hidden from me. And I think so on the flip side, at a very evangelical education. Mm-hmm. And so because of the evangelical education, there were no center for Christian concerns. And any concept of, oh, justice or righteousness was seen almost as if it was an ancient relic, right?
Wow. You know,
like this is, oh yeah, justice. Yeah, 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 sure. But anyway, now down to holiness because, you know, right, exactly. So I think it was, you know, and I think this is many of our testimonies is we experience an understanding of justice when we got in relationship with people.
There it is.
Because as some person, you know, as one person has defined it, justice is making other people's problem my problem.
Mm.
So justice is literally saying, I will take what is your problem and make it my problem. And then when people ask why, we always say, well, because God made your problem his problem, right? So God shows justice in how he navigates his relationship, not just with us in our sin and us in our wrongdoing, but he also then comes and displays this is what a just lifestyle actually looks like in how I interact with people, how I dignify people. And so I like to think about it in the tripart way that Christopher J. Wright talks about it in the scriptures, justice as God displays it, justice as God demands it, and justice as God will deliver it.
Displays,
demands and will deliver.
Okay.
All so right. He displays it.
Pastor, let's go.
Well, so this is how we think about it, right? So he displays it, right? Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, right? So he displays it in the way in which he treats sin, wrongdoing, unrighteousness, iniquity, etc. Then he demands it from his people because he is a God of justice.
Say that again.
He demands it from his people. Micah 6:8.
This is not optional.
It's not optional. Do justice, love mercy, right? This is a demand.
Yes.
And then he will deliver it because eventually he will make all things that are wrong right.
Right.
He will correct all that. So that really helped me. So Christopher J. Wright, Old Testament Ethics for the People of God, was one of the first books that I read. But then here's what I realize is then you start reading Justo Gonzalez and Gustavo Gutierrez and James Cone and then you start reading the people who have been doing really high level work, Glenn Ussery and Frank Thomas, who talks about justice from a preaching standpoint, and so many others who have been doing high level work, Cain Hope Felder, doing high level work from the margins.
Yes, exactly.
And from then that's when justice takes its true character because then you start to see, oh, we can look at some of the basic parables that we have and see that Jesus is and even those Bible stories, those miracles, Jesus is breaking the social convention to say, you see how unjust this is?
Wow.
I'm going to break this convention and it's going to offend you, but then I'm going to challenge you for why it offended you. And I'm going to show you based upon what I just did, why you've set up a system.
What's a good example of that, of a gospel story?
I think you know, it's so fascinating how Jesus breaks the convention of what people would consider to be access to him and what they justly deserve based upon how wrong their past is. So let me give you an example, right? So the woman who is the woman who is caught in adultery, right? So the woman who is caught in adultery, which by nature in and of us saying that is a phrase that must be examined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right. Where's it putting?
Because you can't commit solo adultery.
Right.
Right? Like it's not just the woman. And how did you catch her? She was caught in the very act. Well, where's
the dude? Right.
So Jesus does not then go and say, you know what? You're right. She was caught. He says, wait a minute now. So let whoever here who doesn't have sin, you throw that first stone. You're supposed to be stoned. You throw that. Which is he's showing the way in which we pervert our power.
And he's showing the way. Of justice.
Exactly. Yeah. We pervert our power and we use it selectively for other people. So I think that's there's dozens of examples. But I think that one always stands out to me because it's like, here, do justice, Jesus. And Jesus is like, you're not doing justice.
Ouch.
You're not doing that.
Yeah.
you're taking selective use to be able to, and again, as we talked about before, in a patriarchal society, in a patriarchal society, what are you doing? You are lording over and highlighting the woman because you don't want to expose whoever the man is. Maybe some of y'all are guilty too. You know,
expose yourself.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So
that's good.
I think
that's
it's good. It's very fascinating how Jesus breaks those conceptions and shows us what true justice really is.
I always think of justice as getting what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that works on both sides.
Absolutely.
So getting what you deserve in the sense of something you deserve has been stolen from you or withheld from you and restoring that. But also getting you what you deserve in the sense of if you are responsible for harm, there's accountability.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So the God of justice is about restoring to people what they rightfully deserve.
Yes.
As God's creation, made in God's image. It's also about holding accountable the ones who caused the harm, which we all fit into both categories at different points, mm-hmm. right? So it's pretty broad, but it's woven throughout the Bible, and even more significantly, it is woven throughout the character of God. And to get real theological, when we talk about being made in God's image, that means that we share certain attributes with God, such as the demand for righteousness.
Yep.
One of God's names or appellations is the God of righteousness, mm-hmm. right? So if we are God's creation, we are to be people of righteousness.
Yes.
So to your point, this is not optional.
And I love that you talk about justice is getting what you deserve, right? Because this is crucial for people to understand that God is a God of justice, because the flip side or the other hand in that equation is mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want that, which mm-hmm. is mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Right, right.
So we all want mercy, but mercy does not become powerful. Mercy does not become meaningful until we realize justice.
Absolutely.
And when we realize justice, we realize this is what so-and-so deserves. This is what I deserve. And God is yet still
that
merciful.
So
you see,
good.
That's like
that's the incomprehensibility of the love
okay,
of
this
God.
Has become a theology podcast.
Listen,
okay, let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
Here we go.
Let's go.
But this is what brings people to tears when they realize and come into a personal relationship with Jesus, right? Like you were telling us on a different episode, the first time you helped lead someone to Christ.
Right.
And there were tears in this man's eyes, right? And I think part of that reaction from us is to realize that God loves us so much that the accountability that we deserve, that the mistakes we've made, that the rebellion, that the way we've harmed other people and ourselves, that doesn't separate us from the love of God.
Yeah, that's good.
That is just
that's good, bro.
We cannot in our flesh believe that there is a love that expansive and that strong that will truly never leave or abandon or forsake us, because we've never met another human who could do that. But then when we absolutely actually realize the love of God, and then the way God set it up is when you realize that love, that unconditional love, which will not hold you accountable for all of the things that all of the ways that you have not resembled the character of God, that
right.
you have not lived out justice, that actually motivates you to want to do justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Out of devotion to God, out of a respect for humanity as God's creation. It's wild, the God's economy that sets it up that way.
That's so important. And the reason why that's so important is this. If God truly loves us that much, and if God truly loves us that deeply, and if God truly loves us that fully, how do you think God feels when we're wronged?
Ooh-hoo. Well, you're getting deep now.
So this is the crux of the matter.
Yes, sir.
Right. So when you see dead black bodies in the streets, and when you see hashtags, and when you see people who are incarcerated treated as though they are no longer human. And when you see Palestinian people being called animals, and when you see people being abused and assaulted and mistreated at the hands of people who claim the name of Jesus, how do you think that makes God feel? So if the love of God is that deep, the justice of God must be that serious.
My. Come on, Pastor. Wow.
So this is why we cannot play. This is why we talk about justice, because it presupposes that the love of God, it assumes that the love of God is that great for his creation.
Yeah, yeah.
That if his creation is violated, that God will seek to do justice on their behalf, not just to restore, but to repair that which has been taken away from them. And so this is why I think it is very crucial for us to keep saying this, because it is the most loving thing we can do to tell a generation of Christians and to tell an entire stream of Christianity that God not only loves us and God not only loves all of us, but God seeks to make right that which you have made wrong. And so it is a loving warning to the people. You don't want to be on the other end of that. Can you imagine if someone wrongs our children, how we respond? Because we love them that much.
Right,
we want to make it right,
right
by any means necessary. Sometimes it's like, whoa, you got to hold yourself back. That kid is eight, you know? Like, it's like, what? But by any means necessary, right? Because we love them, and that's how God views us.
It brings, this conversation brings new significance to the verse that says, how can you say you love God but hate your neighbor, right? Because the foundation is God's love, God's expansive love for us, that when we are captured, engrossed, enchanted by God's love for us as individuals, ourselves, then we have the responsibility and the joy of loving others as well. But it also says, if we are harboring hate, or if we are apathetic about the harms done to our neighbors. In other words, we're apathetic about justice. What does that say about how we love God?
Okay. This is why we talk about justice so much. Because we realize that there are people who ascribe, who look at Christian apathy to their mistreatment, their wrongdoing, and the mistreatment of wrongdoing in the world, and they charge it to the account of God. Because they say, if Jesus's followers don't care, does Jesus? These are the stakes.
Yeah.
This is why we talk about a slippery slope. That's a slippery slope. When you look at injustice, and when you look at dead bodies, and when you look at mistreatment, and when you look at disparities, and you just assume, oh, well, that's not, we don't need, that's a slippery,
political, no. That's
when
social,
you,
we don't
when
need
you label it as non-important, what you are communicating is the God you worship and the God you serve doesn't care either.
Right.
That's how people interpret it.
Right, right.
And so we're standing up saying, No, God not only sees, God knows, and God cares, and justice is not optional. Justice is a command.
And when we do justice, we witness to the love of God. So it's really interesting, because a lot of the Christian traditions that would sort of try to force you to define justice in the effort to discredit and undermine it, those are the same Christian traditions that are all about evangelism, all about going out and telling people about Jesus and getting conversions and all of that stuff. But they cut their legs out from underneath them by not demonstrating a concern for justice for their neighbors, for corporate justice on a social and societal level. And on the flip side, if you really were interested in bringing people in displaying the love of Jesus in a captivating way, you would actually do that by caring about what they care about, by like you said earlier, putting yourself in the place of forcing yourself to care about what affects them and what harms them and doing something about it.
And this is the whole point of this, right? When there is justice, there's another word. When you do justice, you are bringing about shalom. And shalom is not simply peace, but shalom is wholeness, completeness, flourishing. And this is why we say, hello, theology. Theology. It's a theological statement when they say, no justice, no peace.
Wow, that's good.
That is a theological statement.
No justice, no shalom.
They're literally no, you don't do justice, you will not have peace. That's theological. So when people are like, oh, look at them, they're saying that. That's biblical. Because if you do justice, there will come peace, completeness, wholeness, and flourishing for all who are a part of the system.
It's a beautiful vision. Why wouldn't we get on board with that?
Well, because, and this is, we don't have time for this, but the reason why we wouldn't get on board for this is because if you're going to do justice, you have to let go of power.
Mm.
And divesting of power that could benefit you for the sake of justice doesn't seem like something that any American Christian will jump and leap at doing.
Right, right, right.
But the truth of the matter, that's the only way we can do it, is we have to let go of status, power, privilege, platform, another P, whichever P you want.
Yeah, right.
We have to let go of it in order to repair and restore those who have been wronged.
But at least we have a foundation of justice to think through these things.
How have you experienced justice? I would love to hear it. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe and click the notification bell to get all the latest Pastor Mike content. Share a comment. I know the comments will be probably extremely supportive of this. but share a comment to tilt the algorithm the other way. And for positivity, if you're listening on podcasts, we are available again on every podcast platform. You can subscribe to us, Pastor Mike. Leave a 5-star review and some kind words for us as well. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can always subscribe to our Patreon. And that is patreon.com/pass the mic. And just for $1 per episode, you can keep these lights on and keep content coming.
Keep the mics on.
Wait, yeah. I mean, that's on, I say on. The lights on, you say the mics
okay,
on.
Mics, okay, I did.
Okay, this is justice. It's just between us. Okay, it's equal. Anyway, thank y'all so much for tuning in. We'll see you soon on the next
Pass the Mic.